You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Julian Marshall with NewsHour. 70 years ago today, not long after the Japanese air attack on the US fleet in Pearl Harbor, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed an order giving the green light to the US military to evacuate all Japanese Americans living on the West Coast and to move them to camps in the interior of the country. The US government at the time said Japanese people were a threat to national security.
When the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, our West Coast became a potential combat zone. Living in that zone were more than 100,000 persons of Japanese ancestry, two-thirds of them American citizens, one-third aliens. We knew that some among them were potentially dangerous. First attention was given to the problems of sabotage and espionage. There were more Japanese in Los Angeles than in any other area. At nearby San Pedro, houses and hotels, occupied almost exclusively by Japanese, were within a stone's throw of a naval air base, shipyards, oil wells.
Well, that was 1943. Decades later, however, in 1988, the US government formally apologized for this dark chapter in American history and paid up more than $1 billion in compensation to Japanese Americans. Mary Matsuda Grunwald was 17 years old when, in 1942, she and her family were sent to Tule Lake in Northern California, the largest of the 10 internment camps. I asked when her family first found out they were going to be interned.
We were introduced to this by seeing a sign that was posted on telephone poles. The same sign was posted all up and down the West Coast. At the top, it says Western Defense Command and Fourth Army Wartime Civil Control Administration. And this is from San Francisco. And it gives a date. And ours said May 8, 1942. Instructions to all persons of Japanese ancestry living in the following area. And then it defines the area that this referred to. And, of course, ours was Vashon Island. And then it goes on and indicates toward the bottom, instructions must be observed, and evacuees must carry with them on departure for the assembly center the following property: bedding and linens, parenthesis, no mattress, for each member of the family. 2. Toilet articles for each member of the family. 3. Extra clothing for each member of the family. 4. Sufficient knives, forks, spoons, plates, bowls, and cups for each member of the family. And finally, essential personal effects for each member of the family.
So you set off on this journey with your meager possessions. And
yes.
You didn't know where you were going or
no.
How to get there. So who took you there?
Well, we were told to assemble in this particular place. It was about a mile north of our home. So we walked there with our suitcases and were stunned to see covered army trucks lined up along the side of the road and soldiers with rifles with bayonets attached waiting for us. And so, of course, then we knew we were prisoners of war. So when we all assembled by 10 o'clock on May the 16th, we all got on the trucks, and the soldiers drove us down to the ferry. Vashon Island is a small island in the Puget Sound, and in order to get across to Seattle, we had to use a ferry, which they provided. And the soldiers went with us, and when we got to the other side, there were all these people who were hovering around, watching us being escorted to the train. And that was a weird, scary time to see all these people watching us silently.
So they watched you silently. They didn't shout anything at you. They weren't abusive.
There were a few men who lined the area that we had to walk. And this one man in particular, I remember he was a big man and he had a gun. And he shook at us and said, "Get out of here, you goddamn Japs." And the other men beside him didn't say anything, but they spit on us. we got out of there just as quickly as possible, and that gave us a better sense of what the country must be like, because the people on Vashon Island, where I grew up, were not like that at all.
But the internment camp where you ended up, how was it there?
Well, we were actually in four of them. The very first one was down toward Central California near Death Valley, which is very, very hot. Of course, we went down by train, and then the last few miles was covered by the army trucks driven by soldiers. And when we got inside the camp and we were told to get off, it was shocking, because then we realized that this is like a prisoner of war camp. The whole area was surrounded by wire fences topped by three rows of barbed wire, and there were watchtowers at certain spaces in between, and then great big searchlights that kept rotating all night long. In these watchtowers were soldiers with machine guns. And so it was a very hostile, foreign experience for me and highly intimidating.
You were in this camp for, 2 years? And you and your brother were then let out. Were you able to pick up a normal life after that?
Well, actually, we were in the assembly center for a couple of months. We were then sent to Tule Lake Internment Center, which is in Northern California, and we were there for a year. And we went to the third camp, which was in northwestern Wyoming, called Heart Mountain. And it was from there that my brother went into the U.S. Army and became a part of the famous 442nd Regimental Combat Team.
That seems quite a strange thing for him to have done after having been interned by his own government.
That may seem that way to you, but given our family's history, my parents initially came to this country because this is where they wanted to live, raise their family, and die here. My brother said, "I was born in this country. I'm an American citizen. I'm willing to go to fight for the United States." I was the outlier in our family. I was incensed by what had happened, and I was a senior in high school during the time we were in Tule Lake. I recall that on the very first day of school, we were required to pledge allegiance to the American flag, and that just made me so angry. So I went home after the first day of school, and I complained to my mother, saying, "I don't think we should have to do that. I'm an American citizen, treated as an alien, and then required to pledge allegiance to the American flag." The four of us had some extensive conversations, as every family did, and I realized eventually that my loyalty was to my family. It could not be to the United States as we experienced it at the time.
Since the Second World War, the U.S. government has attempted to make reparations with Japanese Americans. Has that been enough for you, for your family?
All of my family was dead and gone by the time this became available. I, of course, regret that my parents were not alive to see that the government would apologize and make monetary restitution.
Japanese-American Mary Matsuda Grunewald recalling her time as an internee in the Second World War. That's it from this edition of NewsHour.